Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for actor Stanley Tucci, who recently claimed there's nothing wrong with heterosexual actors like him portraying homosexual characters on film. As he told the BBC,
I'm always very flattered when gay men come up to me and talk about The Devil Wears Prada, mm-hmm. or they talk about Supernova, and they say that, like, it was just so beautiful, you know, you did it. You did it the right way, because often it's not done the right way.
But of course, this has long been the problem in Hollywood. Actors daring to play parts that take on roles they should not, and thereby marginalizing actual members of those demographics, whether racial, physical ability, or sexual orientation. So many films had white actors putting on blackface and marginalizing blackness while also displacing black actors. So many able-bodied actors have put on the pretense of disability, whether physical or mental, and thereby marginalized the alternately abled, as well as preventing them from getting work. And now Stanley Tucci is defending his habit of putting on gay face and taking jobs away from actual homosexuals.
I really do believe that an actor is an actor is an actor. You're supposed to play different people. You just are. That's the whole point of it.
But this is absurd. How can a straight man accurately pretend to be a gay man? Are we really to believe that a straight man can be authentic portraying a sexual orientation he's never experienced? Surely it's far more authentic to let gay actors portray the roles they have actually lived. If anything, what we should be doing is letting gay men perform straight roles, since so many gay men have spent much of their lives pretending to be straight due to the bigotry against them in our society. In contrast, how many straight men have any experience at all pretending to be gay? Nearly none. This is simply a matter of professional excellence. We should hire gays to play everyone and let straights play only themselves. Down with gay face and out with Stanley Tucci. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend. Go rest high.
Second, being on time and the privileging of punctuality. As anyone who has studied intersectional history knows, the entire concept of timeliness as a virtue is a construct imposed on oppressed minorities by the white patriarchy.
Being on time is white supremacy, because what are they always on time to do? Oppress.
As this Instagram influencer says, so true. White Westernism believes in punctuality, but many African and Hispanic cultures simply don't share this weird fixation. CPT as an acronym exists for a good reason, but it could just as easily be HPT, reflecting the polychronic attitude of black and brown cultures in which tasks are done in parallel rather than in sequence, and values such as family and relationship are prioritized over transactional productivity. Whereas monochronic cultures consider interruptions and distractions as a problem, non-white cultures consider them an ordinary part of a healthy life. Thus, punctuality, timeliness, and deadlines in general are just another form of institutional racism, which is why they're used by companies to disadvantage polychronic peoples under the pretense of what they so arrogantly call professionalism. But now we're learning that in addition to being racist, the expectation of being on time is based on ignorance of the very real challenge of time blindness. A neurodivergent inability to correctly gauge how long tasks actually take. Historically treated as a character flaw or a skills deficiency, time blindness is really better understood as a brain function difference which deserves understanding, inclusion, and accommodation. Instead of treating the time blind who are chronically late for appointments, scrambling to do things at the last minute, and penalized for interrupting events already in progress, we should recognize the gift of tardiness. This stressed-out culture of ours needs an anti-punctuality revolution. And if we can just start learning the lesson our fellow time-blind citizens are trying to teach us, instead of othering and marginalizing them for their lateness, perhaps we can finally destabilize the timearchy and usher in the blissful siestatopia of polychronic unproductivity at last. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to recognize the excellent work being done by the Church of England to degender God, especially as the Archbishop of York this week noted that calling God our Father in the Lord's Prayer is deeply problematic. Now, we have previously exegeted the sexism embedded in any masculine reference to God, Even if we were to concede that God chose to reveal himself as male to the oppressively patriarchal culture of ancient Israel, we don't have any proof that they still would identify as male in today's more gender-fluid cultures. Just because God was assigned male at Genesis does not mean they want to be called a he, him, his today. So clearly, we should not only refer to them as a they, but also should talk about the Holy Trinity as Parent, Son, and Holy Ghost. Putting aside for the moment good questions about whether even Jesus would still identify as male. After all, he did associate well with women, and he never went on a date or played sports, so maybe we just shouldn't be too adamant about the whole sonship thing. But God's gender wasn't even the main point Archbishop Cottrell had in mind.
If this God to whom we pray is Father, and yes, I know the word Father is problematic for those whose experience of earthly fathers has been destructive and abusive, and for all of us who have labored rather too much from an oppressively patriarchal grip on life.
What wisdom! Choosing to cast aside the church's historic goal of redeeming broken fatherhood by bringing congregants into a healthy relationship with their true Father in heaven through sound preaching and the healing work of the Holy Spirit, the Archbishop has realized that it's better to cater to the mental frailty of those who've had bad fathers and simply avoid this triggering topic altogether. But of course, saying our parent who art in heaven isn't much help for those who've had troubled experiences with both parents, or who have not known their parents, or who have lived in foster homes. So instead, when teaching God's people to pray, perhaps the best path forward is to have them say, our buddy, whose gender is undetermined. See, simple, inclusive, and non-triggering to anybody. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Following today's service, we will be meeting in Fellowship Hall for a period of fasting and tambourine cacophony to express solidarity with our brethren, sistren, and other in the Screenwriters and Actors Guilds who are striking for their rights in Hollywood, as we have been recently deprived of the daily reaffirmation of our faith from our beloved televangelist, Reverend Kimmel and Bishop Colbert. It is incumbent upon us to earnestly seek the end of this current hindrance to the spread of the gospel of wokeism. Also, a reminder that our conference is still boycotting the states of Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and Texas. If you must endanger the planet by taking a vacation, please only travel to the certified ally states of California, Illinois, and New York, or Canada. Canada is certainly still in the alliance.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.